Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
From the Moan Broadcast Center, this is Air Talk. Good morning. I'm Larry Mantle. We're with you earlier again this morning. We'll take you up to NPR's live coverage of the Senate impeachment trial. It starts at 10. This hour, we'll have the latest on the Chinese coronavirus and the arrival of 201 Americans evacuated from the Wuhan region of China. L.A. County's Director of Public Health, Barbara Ferrer, is with us. President Trump's announced a new peace proposal for the Middle East. We'll look at what's in it and its prospects. And the ongoing controversy over the novel American Dirt and its depiction of a woman's migration from Mexico to the U.S. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC, right after the news.
Support for LAist comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This fascinating exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. With over 200 prints on view, this exhibition offers insight into the artist's creative process and the full range of his expressive capacity. Now on view. More information at NortonSimon.org.
Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us an hour earlier than our typical time so that we can bring you NPR's live gavel-to-gavel coverage of the Senate impeachment trial. Today's question and answer session with the senators alternating by party and asking questions of each of the legal teams. That's what's going to take up today's program. It's expected to be about 8 hours of actual Q&A, and then it continues tomorrow. They'll do it again for a similar length of time. Now, tonight at 7 o'clock, we are going to be bringing you the live coverage of the Los Angeles County District Attorney's debate and the incumbent Jackie Lacey, her two challengers, former San Francisco DA George Gascon, and former public defender Rachel Rossi. All three of them will be debating. KPCC's Libby Denkman and the LA Times' Robert Green will be hosting that debate. You'll be able to hear it live right here on KPCC as well as kpcc.org, and it'll be streaming on the KPCC website as well. In case the hearing, the Senate trial is still going on as of 7 o'clock tonight, you'll be able to hear that at NPR.org. Later this hour, as much of the publishing world's attention has been on John Bolton's forthcoming book, we're going to talk about the controversy over the book American Dirt, chosen for Oprah Winfrey's book club, to a great deal of controversy and criticism. But the book has plenty of fans as well. It's in the top 10 of sales on Amazon. We'll talk about the controversy that book has generated later this hour. But we begin first the news, as you just heard from NPR. 201 Americans have been evacuated from the Chinese city that's at the center of the virus outbreak. That's Wuhan, March Air Reserve Base in Riverside, the site where just about an hour ago the jet arrived with those passengers aboard. Unclear how long they might be under observation or even potentially quarantined. When that flight was scheduled to go into Ontario Airport, they'd actually prepared a hangar, according to County Supervisor Kurt Hagman, where people were going to be expected to be checked out and potentially stay for a few days. Joining us to talk about Los Angeles County's efforts to deal with the coronavirus from Wuhan is Barbara Ferrer, director of L.A. County's Department of Public Health. Thank you so much, Dr. Ferrer, for being with us today.
Thanks, Larry. I'm happy to join you.
Do you have any information on whether there might be a quarantine of those Americans who were evacuated and arrived out in Riverside County?
We don't have that information. You know, I think the State Department is working closely with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. You know, I do know that similar to any travelers that are coming from Wuhan and other places in China, there is always screening at the airport that's taking place to make sure that, in fact, folks who are symptomatic, that is that they have a fever and they have some respiratory illness symptoms, they're coughing, for example, those folks will get taken immediately to a healthcare facility where they can be followed up and appropriately tested. Folks who are asymptomatic are also given a lot of good information about what to look for, you know, over the next 14 days while they're traveling to make sure that should they start developing symptoms, they are able to call a healthcare provider and get, again, the follow-up and the care that they might need.
I think a lot of the people that were evacuated are federal employees and their families, so I assume the federal government will be closely monitoring and talking with them regularly to see what their physical condition is. I want to invite listeners to call with questions about the coronavirus, which originated in Wuhan, China, has spread outside of that region, although it's still that is the concentration zone for it. We're at 866-893-KPECC, our AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Barbara Ferrer, we have one documented case in Los Angeles County to this point.
Yes, we only have one documented case, and I want to clarify that the case is a traveler. This was actually a person who lives in Wuhan City who was coming through LAX. They did everything right. They started feeling ill as they landed. As soon as they got into the airport here in LAX, they were on their way back home to Wuhan City. They presented to the border control agents and let them know that they weren't feeling well, and immediately they were transferred to a healthcare facility for follow-up. They had very few close contacts, and of course, all of those close contacts are being followed by our public health nurses, so that we'll make sure that those close contacts, again, similar to monitoring that's happening all across the country, those close contacts are monitored so that we can make sure that they don't develop any signs or symptoms of potential novel coronavirus illness.
We also have another confirmed case in Orange County, so two of them here in Southern California. Are there
5 cases across the entire United States at this point? I know the situation in China looks very, very different with over 6,000 reported cases. But here in the United States, in spite of all the travel that has happened since December between China and the United States and other parts of Asia, we only have 5 confirmed cases.
What are some of the symptoms that would potentially indicate a person is suffering from this particular virus as opposed to a common flu? Or is it only through testing that that could be determined?
You can only actually make a definitive diagnosis of the novel coronavirus through a testing a procedure that's actually only done right now in Atlanta at the Centers for Disease Control. You know, I do want to let folks know we have a lot of respiratory illness that's around in our community here in LA County as well as in the rest of the nation. The symptoms are for any respiratory illnesses, including influenza, which, as you know, we're in the height of flu season, are, you know, running a fever and, you know, having respiratory symptoms such as coughing or shortness of breath. I do want to let folks know that you need to have been either traveling to places in China where there are cases of novel coronavirus, or you've been a very close contact to somebody who has a confirmed case of novel coronavirus in order to get the novel coronavirus. The high likelihood for folks who aren't travelers to China and haven't been there in the last 14 days, if you develop these respiratory symptoms, obviously, you know, particularly if you're running a fever, you know, we ask you to please stay home. if you have traveled to places in China or you are a close contact of somebody who's a confirmed case, then you do need to call your healthcare provider. Your healthcare provider will get in touch with us, and we will go ahead and make a plan about how to appropriately screen and, if necessary, do some further testing.
We're talking with Barbara Ferrer. She's the director of Los Angeles County's Department of Public Health. The World Health Organization's emergencies chief, Dr. Michael Ryan, said that many of the those who are exposed to this virus only have a mild version, a mild illness. He's estimated the death rate is about 2%. Compared to SARS, which was more than a decade ago, which is a related virus, that was about 10%. So I assume, Dr. Ferrer, it's important to keep in mind that this is much less virulent than SARS.
Yes, at this point in time, I mean, I do want to caution all of us to remember this, similar to SARS, a new virus. And it will take us all of our scientists, some time to actually figure out exactly how it's transmitted, what the incubation period is, and then, you know, what is, as you've talked about, you know, sort of the case mortality rate. You know, for example, how many people are likely to get very serious illness and die from this novel coronavirus. You know, I do agree with, you know, what's the statements that are coming out of the WHO and our own health department, you know, Center for Disease Control here in Atlanta, that really speak to the fact that at this point in time, the mortality rate does seem to be fairly low. But I think we have a lot to learn. We need to just remember that as new information comes in, we may be needing to modify our guidance to the public. You know, right now, we do not think the case we have, we are sure the case we have in L.A. County poses no immediate threat to the general public. There are no special precautions that the general public needs to take, and people should not be excluded from activities based on their race, country of origin, if they don't have symptoms of respiratory illness. It just, that doesn't make sense.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have some breaking news. Fire is burning in a residential high-rise building at Wilshire Boulevard and Barrington in the Sawtelle area of West Los Angeles. The L.A. City Fire Department reports 5 people have been injured. I'm looking right now at television coverage, helicopter over the building, showing some residents on the roof of that building. And I can't tell if it's the 5th or 6th floor up. That building, again, at the corner of Wilshire and Barrington in the Sawtelle area of West Los Angeles. The flames are burning a corner of the building. Black smoke is coming out. Was that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, anywhere between the 5th and 7th floor? It's a little hard for me to tell, but flames are active. It looks like it's burned through multiple units, and we're going to keep you updated on that fire. I'm going to keep monitoring it here in the studio, and I'll let you know. But the fire appears to be out of control at this point, with a significant volume of black smoke coming from that residential building. We continue our conversation on the novel coronavirus. You probably just heard, if you were listening, the top of the hour from NPR, British Airways canceling its flights to and from that region of China where the virus has been of particular concern. And again, if you have questions, you can ask them on our AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Denise in downtown Los Angeles has a son who's at UCLA. She says there's a large enrollment of Chinese students. His roommate is Chinese, lives in the region where the virus was, returned from the area after the winter break. Wondering if her son and his roommate need to be at all concerned. Barbara Ferrer?
No, I don't think they do, unless a student has symptoms of respiratory illness and a fever. You know, again, you know, we have a lot of travelers, and we have a lot of people who live and live in China and have traveled to and from China, who are members of our community now. And I want to urge people that there's no reason for any exclusion of people who are Chinese or of other Asian cultures and ethnicities. At this point in time, we don't have any resident cases of novel coronavirus here in L.A. County. Like everyone else, you know, who lives in L.A. County, we're in the middle of flu season. People who have illness need to stay home and stay out of circulation. But just because you have a roommate or a friend who traveled to a part of China where there may be an outbreak, if that person doesn't have any symptoms, you know, we're following the guidance from CDC right now that really insists that there's no reason for any exclusionary practice.
All right. We have Mia in Seattle who asks, does this outbreak relate to the handling of animals in China or the practice of what are called wet markets?
No, we don't have that evidence at the moment. I think that, again, as I noted, you know, routes of transmission are still being studied. You know, initially there were some links that were reported from China that thought that the possible vector was, in fact, wild animals, but that has not been confirmed. And again, we would wait for the scientific community to establish that route of transmission.
Barbara Ferrer, anything else just to update us so we have the latest before we let you go?
No, I do want to just urge people, stay home if you're sick, wash your hands frequently with soap and water, still get vaccinated against the flu. The flu kills over 30,000 people a year here in the United States, and we're in the middle of flu season. We will always keep everyone posted should we have another case. We will make sure that the general public knows. So the rumor mill should sort of really, you know, stop and really depend on your local public health officials to keep you well informed, both about new cases, if in fact we see them, and also steps people can take to protect themselves.
Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate the update. Thank you. Barbara Ferrer directs Los Angeles County's Department of Public Health. I'm going to update you momentarily as I'm just getting more information about that fire burning in a residential high-rise at the corner of Wilshire Boulevard. It's actually at the 11,700 block of West Wilshire Boulevard, the Sawtelle area of West Los Angeles. I'll have the very latest in just 1 minute.
Support for LAist comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This fascinating exhibition features all four of the Spanish artist's major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. With over 200 prints on view, this exhibition offers insight into the artist's creative process and the full range of his expressive capacity. Now on view. More information at nortonsimon.org.
All right. Right now, they are airlifting people from the roof of that high-rise residential building at Wilshire and Barrington in the Sawtelle district of West Los Angeles. The fire still appears to be burning out of control. We see flames coming out of the windows of the building. The smoke is deep black in color. It does not appear that water is on that fire yet. At least it's not lightening the color of the smoke. And there are, I'm guessing, around 10 people on the roof of the building who obviously evacuated themselves up there to get away from the smoke and the flames. So a rescue helicopter has dropped personnel down to the roof, and they are by air removing individuals from the roof of that building. The fire broke out in a 25-story residential building. The flames were first reported on the sixth floor of the building. And according to L.A. Fire Department Chief Brian Humphrey, persons have reportedly jumped from that or nearby floors. But we don't have any more details than that. Five people are reportedly injured. Their injuries are unspecified. So we'll be keeping you updated even after the impeachment trial starts. I'll do my best to bring you updates on this fire that's burning. And hopefully it'll be good news that firefighters get it under control quickly. It looks like already a few people have been airlifted off of the roof of the building, but I'm seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It looks like 6 individuals. I think the other people I'm seeing are rescue personnel because they have helmets on, and it looks like they're getting people into the harnesses. Someone's being, there they go, being taken off the roof right now. So we'll keep you updated on this. And again, it does not appear, at least externally of the building, that there's headway being made in fighting it. Perhaps internally, firefighters are making progress. We're just not yet seeing that in the color of smoke or in control of the flames. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. Yesterday, President Trump held a White House event in which there was an unveiling of a new peace proposal for the Middle East. The question, of course, is whether there is anything that both sides, Palestinians and Israelis, would be able to agree on. And if so, is this something that would be a vehicle to achieving that peace? Joining us is Michael Makovsky, the president and CEO of the D.C.-based think tank, the Jewish Institute for National Security of America. He was at yesterday's White House briefing on the plan. He's a former special assistant in the Secretary of Defense's office during the George W. Bush administration. Mr. Makovsky, thank you very much for being with us. Can you share with us the broad strokes of what's proposed here?
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for having me. Basically, look, there's still more to study, so I want to be upfront about that.
Sure.
But what I understand, based on the briefing and what I've read so far of the plan, I think basically it'd be a two-state solution. Eventually, there'd be an Israeli, a Palestinian state with Eastern Jerusalem, was a term that would use, not East Jerusalem, Eastern Jerusalem, as part of their capital. Their Israel would keep about, I think, around 30% or so of the West Bank. No one would be uprooted in any arrangement. So no Palestinian and no Israeli. Israel would have security, would have secure control over the Jordan Valley. Even though inside the West Bank area, you know, there would be a Palestinian state. I think a couple of those are some very broad strokes, I think, but Israel would keep the bulk of really what is today Jerusalem. I think there would be no so-called right of return of Palestinians and there would be the Palestinian leadership would have to fulfill certain conditions over a 4-year period, such as stopping to fund terror to get to a state. It would be only after that. And also, Gaza would have to demilitarize.
I've always thought of the right to return as the leverage that Palestinians have to negotiate for potential land swaps. If this plan doesn't recognize a legal right to return to Palestinians, then how are their efforts to have contiguous Palestinian territory, those things of great importance to Palestinians, how is that honored in this?
Yeah, first of all, no Israeli government anymore, certainly. It's a non-starter with Israel about right of return. The fear would be there'd be so many disinfluence. How do you define Palestinian descendants and so on? There could be such an influx, perhaps it could swamp the area. Israel will never accept it. So it's really a non-starter anymore. And by the way, I would add, not only as we saw yesterday on TV that Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, but the effective opposition leader, Benny Gantz, was seen as more moderate, certainly, than Netanyahu, and would have a more, let's say, center-left government. He accepted the plan as well. So I think the consent, there's no consent, there'd be no political support in Israel for Friday with Jerry.
All right. We're talking with Michael Makovsky of the Jewish Institute for National Security of America. We're going to talk with Youssef Munayyer in just a moment of the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights. But I want to update you on this fire that is burning right now in West Los Angeles in the Sawtelle District at the corner of Barrington and Wilshire. It's a 25-story residential building. Fire was reported on the sixth floor of the building. Intense flames were coming out of it earlier. It appears that those flames have now abated somewhat. There's still plenty of black smoke that's coming out from the area where that fire started. And we have a report from L.A. City Fire Department spokesman Brian Humphrey that an undetermined number of people were reported to have jumped from the sixth or nearby floors. The fire department has set up a large inflatable bag on one side of the building. And as I mentioned, the residents who made their way to the roof of the building are being air evacuated. They're having harnesses put around them, and then helicopters are lifting them up from the roof of the building just to assure that they're safe. One good thing, while they were up there, the smoke was blowing in the other direction. So that's a good thing that they were not being, at least in that moment, exposed to very, very heavy smoke. We're going to keep you updated on this. It does appear that the amount of smoke is diminishing. I'm not seeing fire any longer coming out of the side of the building. So it does appear that firefighters on the interior, you can't see them fighting it from the outside, that firefighters must have been able to get up inside the building and to be able to get water on it. Oh, now I'm seeing a flare up of flames coming out of one of the units. So for a while we weren't actually seeing active flames. I'm seeing it again. So it's not as intense as it was earlier, but clearly the fire is not under control yet at this point. Again, I'll keep you updated. Any new information, you can keep it right here. We are on top of the story. Youssef Munayyer, executive director of the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, also a D.C.-based group of coalitions. Mr. Munayyer, thank you very much for being with us again. We appreciate it. Sir, your concerns about this proposal.
Thank you, Larry, for having me. Look, in Trump's vision, which was outlined yesterday and which might as well have been drawn up by the Israeli prime minister himself, Palestinians are offered a truncated, dismembered archipelago of Bantustans connected by bridges and tunnels that would remain subservient to the Israeli state, which would retain security control over the entirety of the land. The Israelis will keep Jerusalem. No Palestinian refugees will be able to return to their homes. And the Israelis would even be able to offload Palestinian citizens of Israel into this ghettoized cluster. Not only would Palestinians receive this sorry excuse for an offer that fails to even meet the basic human rights all people should be guaranteed, it's only something that they can receive if they prove that they're worthy of it. So first, they have to satisfy several conditions proving that they are deserving of this version of statehood. To call this proposal a non-starter would be to glorify it with negotiation language it does not even deserve. It is rather little more than a calculated insult oozing with the most colonialist-minded racism designed only to solicit a rejection. It is a plan to legitimize apartheid and nothing more.
We're talking with Youssef Munayyer, Michael Makovsky of the Jewish Institute for National Security of America. You want to respond to that criticism?
Sure. I'll make 2 points on this. And I know there's limited time. You can't go over the whole conflict. Yes. I would say 2 things. First of all, I think the fact that the Palestinian leadership has to actually meet certain conditions is actually important because, look, from an Israel's perspective, how do you make a peace plan that is so impact their security if you have an entity like you have with the Palestinian Authority that sponsors terror and doesn't recognize Israel as a Jewish state? And you have a leader who's in his 15th year of his four-year term who actually has blamed the Holocaust on the Jews. So I think from an Israeli standpoint, and every time they've withdrawn from land, all they get is they got Gaza in the south, they got Hezbollah in the north. They don't want another terror entity state in their east.
And without sort of redebating all the issues, and I know you're trying to avoid that, but do you see anything that would potentially be acceptable to both sides, Mr. Makovsky?
Well, I think if I can address one broader thing, and I'll address your point, is that I think if you care about the Palestinian people, and I know the other guest does, but I think we could say this for certain. All these decades of peace plans, Palestinians generally said no, and I don't think their situation is broadly improved, although, frankly, the economy in the West Bank, some parts are actually pretty good. But I think it's important for the Palestinians to be more practical here and try to engage the administration and not just be rejectionists, because decades of rejectionism brought us to this point.
All right. I'm sorry I have to interrupt there because I'm trying to cover this important fire as well. And my apologies for cutting you off. But Youssef Manayer, final word from you, sir.
Yeah, it's not rejectionism to oppose being tried to be erased from history and in your land, which is effectively what the Israelis have tried to do to the Palestinians. Look, the only way that we are going to move forward and ever see peace is if peacemakers, and if Donald Trump ever wants to be one, he would have to accept that the rights of Palestinians are no less than the rights of Israelis. But that is far, far from the principles that undergird this plan. This is a plan that is designed to ensure that one group dominates another, that Israelis dominate Palestinians in an unjust, apartheid, Jim Crow way for years and years and years. No one would accept that.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you for being on with us. Again, my apologies to have to abbreviate our conversation as we cover this important local story of the fire and obviously this ongoing hugely important story in the Middle East. That was Youssef Manayer, U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, Michael Makovsky of the Jewish Institute for National Security of America. Let me update you with the very latest going on with the apartment fire in the Sawtelle District of Los Angeles. So we are seeing flames coming out of one side of the building, and firefighters there have one of their extension ladders up to a window of an adjacent apartment unit, apparently trying to attempt an evacuation. It appears that the residents who got to the roof of the building, which is called Barrington Plaza at the corner of Wilshire and Barrington, that they have been removed from the building. Now, we also have the streets at that intersection are full of fire trucks, firefighters trying to fight this fire. So obviously avoid this area, the Sawtelle District of Los Angeles, anywhere near the intersection of Wilshire and Barrington. It's going to be heavily congested because of the fire equipment that's being brought in to fight the flames. It's a 25-story residential building, and what we're seeing are still flames coming out of the side of that structure. Firefighters are trying to get a handle on the fire. Rescues are underway at the Barrington Plaza. There were earlier reports of five injuries and not detailed what the extent of those injuries or the types of injuries. But according to Brian Humphrey, L.A. City Fire Department, there were reports, presumably from bystanders or other residents, that some individuals had jumped from the building, from the floor in the area of that heavy smoke. Okay, now the firefighters are getting water from the high-pressure hoses. A firefighter is up on the extension of that ladder at about the fourth floor, and he's shooting up with that hose two stories above him into the unit next to the one where it appears the fire started. We're now getting lighter colored smoke that is coming off the fire. It appears that this, as well as I'm sure what's happening in the interior of the building, is making progress. And again, rescues continue in that building as smoke continues to come out of the side. But the good news is, at least at the point where the fire appears to have started, the smoke there is a lighter color than it was just a few minutes ago. All right, I'll be continuing to update you on what's going on at this residential high-rise building, the Sawtelle District of West Los Angeles, the corner of Wilshire Boulevard and Barrington. The building is called Barrington Plaza. We'll be back in 90 seconds on Air Talk.
Support for LAist comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This fascinating exhibition features all four of the Spanish artist's major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. With over 200 prints on view, this exhibition offers insight into the artist's creative process and the full range of his expressive capacity. Now on view. More information at nortonsimon.org.
You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We were scheduled to talk about the controversy around the book American Dirt, but I feel the need to keep you updated on the fire because of the effect this is having not only on residents of Barrington Plaza, some of whom have been safely evacuated so far from the building, but that's still going on, but also about the effect this is having on nearby traffic and streets. If you have something, you're there on the scene, you're watching the fire, you're driving by, and you can give an eyewitness account, I would appreciate that at 866-893-5722. If you don't want to go on the air, but you just like to describe it briefly for our call screener, that's fine too. They can pass it to me and I can get the information on the air. So often when we have a breaking news story like this, we rely on listeners like you who are close to or on the scene of a major event like this to share what you're seeing on the ground. 866-893-5722. We're going to join with our media partner, NBC4, a witness to the fire. Ken Sachs is talking right now.
Fire level floors. I heard something about that earlier on Citizen. I didn't see anybody jumping, maybe on the other side of the building. I was on the west side, so I didn't get a view of that. There were a lot of helicopters already out, a couple of helicopters up there already trying to evacuate everybody. It was a very a challenging rescue for helicopter fire department. It was unbelievable the way they came down. They hoisted themselves down and picked up the people and brought them up. It was about at least four or five times while I was there. I didn't see anybody jump from the building. It looked, I mean, it was very... the way they handled it, it looked like it was moved. I didn't see anything that was people jumping. Let's put it that way. It was. Mm-hmm. They were just. It looked like they were all getting to the top floor, and the helicopters would just come in randomly. After one left, one could come back in, and they would just keep taking people from the rooftop. And as I was leaving, there was. It just continued. So there's definitely people in the building. Not sure. And there was a couple of, I think it was the fourth or sixth floor. I've got a couple shots of it, of a bunch of firemen on the floor there where the smoke was smoldering out of it. And then by about the time I left, it just got engulfed.
Hey, Ken, I'm looking at the map here and noticing, and you work there, so you're pretty familiar with it, but this is in between Santa Monica Boulevard, San Vicente Boulevard, Wilshire. This is a very busy area full of apartments and, office buildings, stores, restaurants as well. This must have been pretty chaotic the way everybody reacted when they saw this happening, everyone running around trying to figure out if everyone is okay.
I can't even only imagine. I was on the ground filming it, and my attention was really based on trying to capture some moments, but I didn't really have time to see much around me because it was just so visual. You know, you have these helicopters, right. Huge helicopters at maybe 500 feet from, you know, high, coming down and landing literally on a burning inferno. And it was just, it was chaos. I was posted at the construction site, which is right across the street from it. Mm-hmm. So I was just a little bit from it. But it looked like most of the attention may have been on the east side. A lot of attention on the east side, maybe, because I don't know. I mean, I it's hard to speculate at this point.
Right.
All I know is I saw what I saw. And it was a very tough situation.
We've been listening to our media partner, NBC4. That's Ken Sachs, a witness, joining us now from the Sawtell District, right across the street from the fire. Ezekiel, thank you for being with us. Ezekiel, have you been there from when the fire started?
I have, Larry. Yeah, I've been here since the fire started. I was in the middle of a gym class, and in the middle of the class, a person noticed the flames. We went outside and we're watching the flames, and then as the smoke moved and cleared a little, we could see that there was a guy hanging from the window. And I mean, it ended our gym class really soon because we're all sitting there wondering like what's going to happen. We saw a truck come in with a ladder, but it looked like it was too short or they had the wrong angle. And then the flames came the wrong direction towards the guy was. So he was even getting a little more panic and we're like, is he going to jump? What is he going to do? But another truck came around the other side and was able to reach up and rescue him. I haven't seen anyone.
Thank goodness.
So, yeah. Oh, it was a tragic. It was quite the experience for this morning. But I haven't seen anyone jumping. So I don't know if that's happening on another side of the building. But I did not see that. I just saw this guy like get rescued, thankfully. And then I've seen people on the top being rescued by helicopter as well.
Yeah, they had like an assembly line of helicopters rescuing. It's quite impressive, taking one resident after another off the roof of the building, thankfully taking them to safety. And again, the reports of people jumping, that was from L.A. Fire Department spokesman Brian Humphrey, who said that there were individuals near or had been in the building who shared those reports. I don't think the fire department independently witnessed that or confirmed that. These were reports made to fire officials. So we don't know. I'm looking right now, Mazik, if you don't mind hanging on for a moment, let me describe. There's an enormous inflatable pad, one of these things that you see for people doing stunts in films or that are used in cases where someone is going to have to jump from several floors up in a building to safety. It is set up to the area where the fire spread from what looks like the apartment where it originated near the corner of the building. And now we're seeing firefighters standing on the damaged balconies of two floors of the apartment buildings. They're smoldering. They're getting water on that. So this is looking very positive at that corner of the building. But the size of the smoke damage on that building, it wraps around the corner of that condo. I'd say it's a third of the way down the building on one side and close to half the way down the side of the building on the other. I'm talking horizontally. Vertically, the external damage that you can see is about 2 to 3 floors. But in the interior, we obviously don't know how extensive the smoke and water damage is or the amount of smoke that residents would have been exposed to when this fire was burning at its height and pouring black smoke out of the corner units of that building. Also, I just saw, and I don't know whether you can see this, Ezekiel, but it looks like a row of several ambulances that are lined up ready to transport anyone who's injured. Can you see that from where you're at?
I don't see the ambulances. I do see a row of fire trucks and also police SUVs, but I don't see the ambulances. That must be from a different angle. But I do, on the ground here, there's a lot of residents from that building who are occupying the parking lot to the gym that I was at, and people are handing out water to them. You see people in their robes. There's a lot of dogs. Just makes you hope that everyone with their animals did get out, you know, thinking about that as well. But I do not see the ambulances over here.
Ezekiel, thank you for taking the time to call, particularly after the traumatic events that you witnessed this morning. I appreciate you sharing with us what you saw. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Ezekiel in Sawtelle, right across the street from where the fire is burning. Let me just reset in case you've just joined us. A fire has been burning this morning, first reported at 837, a residential high-rise at the corner of Wilshire Boulevard and Barrington in the Sawtelle district of West Los Angeles. Barrington Plaza is the name of the building. The fire was reported first on the sixth floor, and you could see the intense flames and the dark smoke pouring out of the unit where it appears that it started, and then the fire growing to surrounding units, or at least rooms, one assumes units. There were individuals who made their way to the roof who were rescued by fire helicopter, and in fact, looks like someone is just getting ready to be taken away from the roof. Someone else made their way up, it appears, and they are putting the harness on that individual right now to take that person off of the roof. We have Hadar, who said, my 14-year-old son and I were in the building. I just lost that message. Excuse me. Let me get that back. My 14-year-old son and I were in the building. There's a physical therapy office on the bottom floor. There was a man hanging on the window from the sixth floor. They couldn't get a ladder to him. I couldn't watch. We left. I don't know if he made it. Well, Ezekiel just indicated that that person, I'm assuming that's the same individual, was rescued. So that's good news, Hadar. And she said that there were people telling her that people were jumping from the west side. She said she saw someone jump from the east. So, again, we hope to be able to further clarify, confirm, or hopefully find out that, in fact, there weren't people that jumped, or if they did, that the pad was out there in time to break their fall. You're listening to special coverage of the fire on Air Talk on KPCC. Back in 30 seconds.
Support for LAist comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This fascinating exhibition features all four of the Spanish artist's major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. With over 200 prints on view, this exhibition offers insight into the artist's creative process and the full range of his expressive capacity. Now on view. More information at nortonsimon.org.
We'll keep you updated even after the start of the Senate impeachment trial. Today's proceedings, the Q&A of the senators asking questions of both of the legal teams. So we will break in and provide you with that coverage as events warrant. I'm now seeing two large ladders extended up onto a balcony on what looks to be the sixth or seventh floor of Barrington Plaza, the building where this high-rise fire has been burning for more than an hour. Again, we're not seeing anywhere near the amount of smoke on the exterior of the building. There are no more flames visible anymore on the outside of the building. And I'm looking at one individual who is being airlifted by a Los Angeles Fire Department helicopter, and they're being brought right now into the inside of that helicopter after being transported out. David Barrett is the executive officer of MySafe LA, a nonprofit. David, good to have you with us again. I understand you've used this Barrington Plaza building as a training place because of a previous fire there.
Yes. Good morning, Larry. There was a structure fire involving several apartments and, in fact, a long stretch of hallway about 6 years ago. And we were there on scene for the incident and captured a lot of video at the time. And we use it to teach people about sheltering in place and the value that it has not to go out into hallways. In that particular fire, a number of people were injured, but they were all injured outside of their residences trying to escape through hallways. So if there is smoke, if there is heat, you should not venture into it. Stay inside your home. In fact, one really interesting factor from that particular fire 6 years ago, the hallway was completely destroyed. But if you opened any door to any of the residences on that floor, the other side, the interior side of the doors were completely untouched by heat or smoke or flame.
All right. So 2013 was when that fire occurred. Do you know whether the building is equipped with sprinklers or other fire suppression equipment?
Well, the building is more than 50 years old, and it has been updated several times. There are fire extinguishers and hose packs and evacuation things. The building has taken the ownership of the building has taken further steps since that 2013 fire. So it would be obviously not my place or premature to talk about anything related to what's going on there today, other than to say that the fire is involving a lot more than the balcony that you're seeing. It actually is extending through much of the sixth floor.
All right. Thank you, David. I appreciate you sharing that information. Of course, some of these units were fully consumed with fire. In a case like that, obviously, the residents are going to have to get out and take their chances outside the unit in that case.
Absolutely. And you actually are, if you've looked at any of the video, there's at least one example of a resident clinging to the side of the building being rescued by an LAFD member on an aerial ladder. So, yeah, it can be a dangerous situation. But if your unit is not involved in fire, sheltering in place is a very important thing to do, as it is probably your best protection.
All right. Let me also update L.A. City Fire Department tweets that there are 335 fire personnel assigned to fight the fire at Barrington Plaza residential high-rise, four L.A. Fire Department rescue-capable helicopters. And as I mentioned, at one point, they were essentially lined up, one ready to go in close and hover over the roof of the building to take people off as the one had loaded people in and taken them away. Again, if you are in the area of this high-rise apartment fire, which appears to no longer be emitting smoke, share with us what you witnessed, please. We're at 866-893-KPCC. And I know a couple of listeners have called and they're shaken up, understandably, do not want to go on the air. We understand that completely. But if there's information that you're comfortable sharing and feel confident that you witnessed, that's good to share. Let me quickly update you that this is 89.3 KPECC Pasadena, 89.1 KUOR Redlands, 90.3 KVLA Coachella, and 89.5 KJAI Ojai. We understand that Deputy Chief Armando Hogan is going to be providing a news briefing on the fire within the next few minutes. We will be bringing that to you right here on KPECC. So we are going to take you up to the impeachment trial coverage. And you can hear, by the way, the full impeachment trial at NPR.org. That's where you'll be able to hear the trial. We are going to bring you coverage of the trial from NPR just as soon as we get an update on what's going on with the fire at Barrington Plaza. The good news is, where those flames appeared to be out of control and heavy smoke, thick black smoke was coming from the building just about 15 minutes ago, it appears now that is done. Firefighters are standing on a few of the balconies of the building, making sure that any hot spots are controlled. Traffic has been stopped in the area of the building for one reason, because there are so many fire units that are in that area. There's just simply no room for the cars to get through, to be able to get by that. This is one of the more busy intersections in West Los Angeles, where you've got probably tens of thousands of cars going by every day, this intersection of Wilshire and Barrington. Again, there was a fire, as you just heard from David Barrett, back in 2013, and that this is, in fact, being used for training purposes. David Barrett, let me come back to you on this. Firefighters, of course, also use these real life examples to be able to conduct their training as well. And these have to be among the most challenging fires to deal with in these high rise buildings. Anything that you can share with us about the challenge involved for the professionals?
Well, the professionals do take this very seriously. The motto of the Los Angeles Fire Department is to train as if your life depends on it, because it does. In a structure fire like this, which involves a high rise, this is an older building. So you can see that there are balconies and windows. Most modern high rise structures are sealed. So it's much more difficult from the exterior of the building to determine the extent of fire. In a situation like this particular one, they'll use air assets not only to be able to rescue residents, but also be able to both inject and retrieve firefighters if necessary. They'll post area ladders at all four corners of the building so that firefighters have multiple ways to escape if they need to. In the training process, the fire department has a number of important tactics that they follow, including how to evacuate yourself through a structure that's completely charged with smoke. So they'll actually black out the masks that are on the breathing apparatus of firefighters so they can't see, and train them how to use their hose lines to reverse their way out so that they can escape safely. One of the most important things to share, Larry, is that it's not always fire that is the killer in fires like this. It's the smoke. We have so much plastic in our homes now, and some of it can put off poisonous gases, even cyanide. So it's very important for people to learn how to get low and go, to be able to crawl under smoke, to know that before they open a door into a hallway or someplace, to take the back of their hand and put it against the crack in the door. You don't want to use your palm, because if you burn your palm, that's going to be a lot more painful than if you burn the back of your hand. And if it is hot, don't open the door. If it is, you can slowly open the door, and if it's clear of smoke, you can make your way out. Never use an elevator. Always use the stairways. And make sure that you have your cell phone with you, your mobile phone with you. If you need to stay in your unit, make sure you are using your phone to let people know that you're there. Los Angeles Fire Department, they train continually on how to rescue people and how to rescue pets. And they're very, very successful at doing so.
Looking, David, at another aerial rescue taking place from the roof of that building. And speaking of smoke, the good thing was, as the residents were standing on top of the building, because the winds were fairly gusty, the smoke was going off to the side, not going straight up, and affecting, it would have appeared, the people at the top of the building, at least in terms of visual smoke. I'm sure they smelled it and were experiencing it, but it was not the sort of thick black smoke that we saw coming out of the building. That was going sideways, not up, for those who were standing on the top. David Barrett, executive officer of My Safe LA. We're awaiting a news briefing from the Los Angeles Fire Department about this high-rise residential building that has suffered a significant fire this morning. It started more than an hour ago at the intersection of Wilshire and Barrington in the Sawtelle District of West Los Angeles. The last report were of five individuals injured, but no specifics on those injuries. There were eyewitness reports to firefighters that there had been individuals who had jumped off the building, but we have not had that verified beyond what fire officials said was told to them by people who observed this fire on the ground. Another rescue taking place right now, an individual being taken up with a fire personnel and wearing the harness going on to, this is a sheriff's department helicopter, sheriff's colors, the shades of green and gold as they're being evacuated from the scene of the fire. We're going to take a very brief break and continue, but I do want to let you know, for the live coverage of the Senate impeachment trial, you can listen to NPR.org. We will be taking you to that coverage a little bit, but right now we have an important local story that we're going to cover for you. So we'll be back in just about 1 minute.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.